Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's Friday. Tyrod Taylor was listed as questionable, but is doing better. So naturally, the question was asked to the head coach, are you ready to name your starting quarterback? Here is an exchange between Aaron Glenn and a dichotomy of Jets reporters trying to get that simple answer.
Right.
Who is your starting quarterback on Sunday against the Bengals?
Are you able to tell us who's going to...
I cannot tell you that.
But is it because you don't want to or because...
That's exactly it.
But with Tyrod's situation and question, doesn't that play into this potentially?
That's exactly why I'm not telling you. Because I don't want to.
No, but I understand that. But I mean, is it partly because of the injury?
That's exactly why... I'm saying it because I don't want to.
Does the quarterback,
I don't know how many times I got to answer you that. It's not going to change.
Do the players know who the quarterback is?
That's going to be between me and the players.
Not knowing how secretive it is, does it affect the preparation at all for the game?
We had a great week of practice with our guys. Our guys know we're going to keep that between us, and that's how it's going to be.
And the starter's gotten the normal reps the starter we get before.
That's between me and the team.
What do you think of that, T? What do you think of that?
So this is why this is stupid.
Yeah?
Because now this becomes the what we're talking about. And we're not talking about how did the Jets win a game this weekend. We're talking about who's starting a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What is the coach telling you about what not to say about who's starting a quarterback? And it becomes this game that is not about the main thing. The main thing is, how do you prepare this team to win a football game? What we're talking about now with the media, Neil Best started that conversation, and he just got completely disrespected by Aaron Glenn because I don't want to answer that question. I'm not going to ask you. So it becomes this stupid, non-important, I got you, you got me, I'm in a powerful position, you're not, you have to listen to what I tell you, I don't care what you say. It's stupid, right? And so it doesn't mean anything for the game. It's just a distraction from what actually needs to happen, which is putting your team and your position, your players in a position to win. I guarantee you, without a doubt, Aaron Glenn had a meeting with his players and said, hey guys, I don't want y'all telling anybody who's playing quarterback. Is that necessary? Yes, it is, because he's created this battlefield mm-hmm. of nonsense around who the hell the starting quarterback is. It's such a dumb distraction from what's important in a locker room or prepping a week for a football game. And it drives me insane because he thinks this is important. He thinks having power or agency over the media is important. It's not. It means nothing. We can opine. We can tell what we believe. We can ask questions. We can do anything. We are not playing a game, right? We are not prepping for a game. We are just trying to get information and be entertaining about it. He's taking this so damn seriously. It makes me feel like he's not focused on what's important. Which is the main thing. When the main thing is not the main thing, you don't win. Period.
I agreed with you until I continued to listen to the press conference. Mm. Okay? And I wasn't trying to catch you here because I let you hear the part that swayed me. And you very well could say, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I take it back.
Go
or,
ahead.
Which is probably the likeliest scenario, you're going to swat it away and say, that's stupid.
Right.
And Evan...
Because he's really got a competitive advantage.
Well...
When both of your quarterbacks aren't good, what the hell are we even talking about?
Well, he was asked later on, has anyone ever done this to you? And here is Aaron Glenn's answer, and I have to admit, he swayed me a little bit.
Let's hear it.
It was tough. I went through that in Detroit when it was Malik Willis and Jordan Love. And I thought LaFleur did a really good job of not saying who that quarterback was, and we have to prepare for both of those guys. So I don't see why we think this is something that hasn't been done.
It's pretty good, right, Teak?
No.
What?
No.
That didn't sway you?
No.
Okay.
Is Malik Willis a good quarterback?
Probably not.
Okay, is Jordan Love a good quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. If he's not playing, you got a completely different thing you got to prepare for. Is Justin Fields a good quarterback?
No.
Is Tyrod Taylor a good quarterback? Exactly.
So there's no edge. There's no benefit to this.
I mean, Justin Fields is going to play and not take any risk and take 4 or 5 sacks and not be explosive. He's not going to run the ball because Tanner Entring doesn't want him to. And Tyrod Taylor is going to limp around because he's got a bum knee and he's going to throw 2 interceptions. Does it matter? I'm not even joking.
No, if they play the way they've played and this offense exactly plays the way they played, it don't make a damn difference.
It doesn't. Nobody is preparing differently for Justin Fields versus Tyrod Taylor.
I have one more thing I'll throw at you to change your mind.
Go ahead. You're preparing differently from Malik Willis
to Jordan Love.
To Jordan Love.
No, I get you. I just wanted you to hear that part.
It's a nice example. This is why I'm just giving you an example, guys. It's not even close to the same thing.
I got one more thing I'll throw at you to maybe change your mind on this Aaron Glenn discourse. You ready?
Yep.
Many years ago, Bobby Valentine was the manager of the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he would say weird stuff. And it was later revealed that he would do that to put the attention on him and away from his players. Do you think that Aaron Glenn, with an 0-7 team, is taking the attention away from the players who have contributed to this 0-7 record and is making the story about him and actually benefiting his players?
No, because the only thing that's going to matter is what happens on Sunday. So if we go through all of this competitive advantage talk and either one of them or both play like crap on Sunday, then what are we even talking about?
One last question.
Go ahead.
Is it possible Aaron Glenn is swerving all of us and the rookie quarterback out of Missouri,
Brady Cook,
is actually going to start the game?
Then I will apologize.
Really?
On Monday, I will say I am sorry. Even if he plays terrible, I will apologize.
Because that was a purposeful swerve.
That's the swerve that nobody sees coming.
Yeah.
We'll know because the elevation will happen.
Yes, right. We'll get a little bit of a heads up.
He's a practice squad kid.
Yeah.
But we'll know.
Yeah, that is not going to happen.
No, it shouldn't.
Well, there's going to come a point, and I'm not sure when I'm going to be there, but it may come sooner than later, where I'm certainly, as a Jet fan, going to say, I'd rather see Brady Cook. I'd rather see a rookie who's an unknown.
No, I agree with you.
Than
either way,
I already know.
Right, either way, to me, this isn't about him not choosing who the starting quarterback or telling anybody who the starting quarterback is. It's how he's presenting it. It's like he's presenting this as if it's the most important thing, and it's not. It's just I made my statement. It is what it is.
The other thing that I would be interested in is there's going to be a starting quarterback on Sunday. If I had to guess, it's Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
When Tyrod Taylor starts, whatever the results are, good, bad, indifferent, tie, right, doesn't matter. Is he going to play this game every week? Or once it's Tyrod Taylor, well, of course it's Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah,
I don't know.
When you don't have a quarterback, when you have a quarterback controversy, you don't have a quarterback.
Oh, well said. Especially in this case.
Yes.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Chris in Bayshore. Good afternoon, Christopher.
Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing?
We're good. Good.
You know, Evan, that was a really good attempt to try to get Glenn a little bit of credit there. But I got to go with Tiki here. I think that after listening to this guy, I mean, is it possible that Aaron is just kind of a jerk? I mean, could that be what's going on here? I mean, I know he's well-respected, but, I mean, obviously, it's either that, he's not handling the situation well, being winless, or a combination of both.
I think it's a combination of that, Chris. I feel like he's frustrated by the plight he finds himself in, and because there aren't easy answers, he's taking it out on how he answers all these questions. And that's just not the way to go about it. I think you just acknowledge it. It's as simple as that. And again, maybe I'm oversimplifying it because it's not me who's, he's not on the hot seat because he's not getting fired, but you know what I mean. I'm not sitting in that room. I'm not sitting in that situation frustrated because things aren't working. But I think the easiest thing to do is just acknowledge that this is going to be a challenging season.
Mm.
That we're still finding our way at quarterback. We are still finding our roster. There are going to be ups and downs, maybe more downs than ups, and you just got to have patience. And I'm trying to be patient.
The one thing, and I guess this is a conspiracy theory, but we'll get the answer clearly on Sunday with if he starts or not. One possibility for why he may not want to answer the question is that he intends to start Justin Fields. And that would elicit more questions because mm-hmm. of the criticism that came from Woody Johnson. Like, if he says, yeah, it's Justin Fields, he's my quarterback, don't you think that elicits even more, wow, the owner said
yeah.
his rating is
no,
terrible.
True. I mean, yeah, we talked about that on Monday or Tuesday, whenever that came up with the owner's meetings where you're speaking about this, Woody. And my issue with it was that it forces Aaron Glenn to have to respond to this.
Yes, that was the biggest problem.
You're now responding to something that has nothing to do with what you did last Sunday or this upcoming Sunday.
It's
only because of your owner's comments.
If he starts Justin
Fields.
By the
way, I think this is all about this, who's your starting quarterback, it goes back to that.
100%. And if he does start Justin Fields, I'll be convinced that's the reason he didn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, of course.
Because he didn't want to further the questions
right.
that would come about what Woody Johnson said.
They're going to come again.
Of course.
On Sunday night or Monday.
Yeah. Mike's in Middletown, New Jersey. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Listen, I think for Joe, what you got to do is you have to be like, remember when Susan brokered the peace between George Steinbrenner and Yogi Berra?
Yes.
You got to
yes.
have Boomer or Bob, even better, Bob Lashusen do it. Bob is in on the Jets.
That's true.
Have the broker between Woody and Joe. And remember, as Joe told us, they got more than meets the eye politically, you know, bro?
I'm not going to get into it, bro.
We got something in common.
I think you're right. And the guy to do it, I don't think Boomer has some great I don't know his relationship at all with Woody Johnson, mm-hmm. so I don't want to imply if it's good or bad or anything. I don't know what it is. But I think it would have to be someone from the organization. And since Bob Lashusen is a WFAN alum, it's Bob Lashusen.
There it is.
Bob Lashusen, if you are listening.
You're being tapped.
You're being tapped as the peacemaker between Woody Johnson and Joe Beningo. Because once they make peace, Joe can properly be inducted into the Jet Fan Hall of Fame.
Yes, just like Fireman Ed, who I'm sure at some point had to make peace in the 5 years since he quit the team in 2012.
But could you imagine, and I don't think they do this, but let's say they did. They're inducting Joe B into the Jets Hall of Fame, and they're doing it at halftime of a Jets game. Could you imagine what that speech would turn into?
They don't give speeches.
I know they don't, but imagine if they gave Joe a live mic at MetLife Stadium halftime.
Right.
I mean,
they would rescind it immediately.
First of all, the team's a disaster. I don't know why you people are here. I don't give a rat's ass about this Hall of Fame. Can my team win a championship? It'd be the greatest speech in the history of speeches.
You think he would decline it?
Which part?
The opportunity to be in the Jets Fan Hall of Fame?
I don't think Joe cares about it. Honestly, I think I said this before. I think he's very humble about that.
Yeah.
But I think he would definitely take a live microphone at halftime at MetLife Stadium.
I think if that would ever happen, I think the Jets rip off like 8 in a row. Mm. I think that's what the Jets need to turn it around. They need Beningo and Woody to come together as one.
Maybe.
And I think that would put us over the top.
Spoken like an irrational Jet fan. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And if you want to watch Star Trek, it's also on Paramount
Plus. How about that?
Boy, lots of things. Lots of things on Paramount Plus.
Mario is in Howell. What's up, Mario?
Hey, guys, can someone please tell AG that it wouldn't matter if we had Cincy's playbook? It's not going to make a difference. We're just pathetic. And listen, with Joe B, here's a perfect scenario for Joe. He wants to have a sit-down? Okay. In The Godfather, Michael had a sit-down with Salazzo the Turk and the officer of McCluskey. He went to the bathroom, he comes out with a gun, and he kills both of them. Maybe that could be our
wow. Jesus.
Holy crap.
Why does it have to go to that level?
I know.
My God. All Joe wants to do is do one of his patented Beningo rants live for Woody Johnson.
Okay, I mean, Chauncey Billups gets all mafioso on us, and now we're having, like, scenes set up for For Joe B?
Well, I think it definitely that whole story has reminded everybody about great mafia movies.
Yeah, of course.
And great mafia stories. And I'll tell you more on the Chauncey Billups poker situation, which, again, is sort of unrelated to the whole basketball player prop thing. But Pablo Torre has done a great job breaking a lot of news over the last few years. He says a number of pro athletes played at these private poker games that were organized by those indicted by the DOJ in what they're calling Operation Royal Flush. And one of them, according to multiple sources with direct knowledge of a game that took place in 2019, was Kevin Garnett.
KG.
And what I'm afraid of is that I think we're going to get a slow leak of big celebrity names that played at these poker games. But here's the real question. Because let's say you were at one of these poker games.
Right.
The first question I'd ask you, well, first of all, you'd probably be told to lawyer up, so maybe you wouldn't say anything. But it would be, did you know?
Yeah.
Because to me, there's
a great... That's the big story.
That's the huge thing, because there's a big difference between knowingly being a part of that, where people are getting just completely ripped off through high-tech technology where they're going to cheat at these poker games, and just being unsuspecting. Like, I had no idea. They paid me money to come to a poker game, which I kind of think would probably be the case with a lot of celebrities.
Yeah, of course.
If you're going to make money off it, I'm just going to pay you $100,000. Go play poker because you're a big name.
I think the idea that these guys were a part of it, it could be a little bit dicey to prove because they're part of it because they're getting paid to be there.
Right.
Right. They're not trying to win money. I mean, maybe they are also, but they're also... They're also, it's a promote.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you get a promote to go, to show up and be a part of it, whatever that number is, $50,000, $100,000, who knows? And so technically, because you are employed by them, you are a part of it.
Right.
But you might not have known what's going on as far as the fleecing and the special glasses or contact lenses that saw the mark cards and you could tell what everything was. So we don't know how involved they were. We just know that they were paid to be there.
Now, speaking of the NBA and NBA gambling, the NBA is off to, on the court, like an amazing start.
Yeah.
When you look at that Thunder Pacer game from last night.
The games are amazing.
The Warrior game.
Knicks game.
The Knick game was entertaining. Right. Like, the nationally televised games have been just chef's kiss. They've been completely awesome. But I have to play you something from last night because it just shows you the world is a full circle. This is from, I was going to say TNT inside the NBA, but now it's on ESPN. But to their credit, it is the exact same product.
Right.
Like Charles and Shaq, they're acting the same way. Ernie's there. Kenny's there. They're fighting with each other. Like it is, ESPN hasn't touched it at all. But here is Ernie Johnson revealing an incredible statistic that you can't believe it, especially because of who it involves.
But this one... Before we go to break, this falls in the category of you just can't make that stuff up.
Oh,
Aaron Gordon has made 10 three-pointers tonight, tying Terry Rozier in 2020 for the most in a season opener in NBA history.
No.
I kid you not. We'll take a break. When we come back, the finals rematch.
You probably should go to a commercial
Thunder
after that.
And Pacers.
You can't make this stuff up.
I mean, how do you make that up?
You can't.
And I know it's like not the most.
Should you just not say it?
No, that's the beauty of these guys. Yeah. You have to say it. Because that moment, that brief moment, was awesome.
It would have been better. Better.
Better?
If they couldn't do it, though. If somebody would have said, who would have bet on that?
Chuck should have said that.
Right.
I should have bet on that.
Right.
And the funniest part is, like, my dad always says this, and he's so right. Like, some of these stats that people come up with, like, who cares?
Yeah, they're random, not connected, but whatever.
And even that stat, like...
Marginally interesting.
Yeah, 10 threes in a season opener. It's like, whatever.
Right.
The only reason it is interesting... is because it somehow involves Terry Rozier. So good job by those guys for A, mentioning it, because it is hilarious. It made me laugh when I saw that last night. But it is funny. The basketball, and I'll tell you this, and all you old heads, I'm sorry, you're not going to like this. We are living in the glory days of the NBA. The sport has more competitive balance than it ever has. Mm-hmm. The skill level is off the charts.
I think that's why there's competitive balance. Every team has guys it can play.
I think the CBA may contribute to it, too.
True.
But also, yeah, there's a lot of stars, and you can't like literally have three of them on the same team. But and I say this, by the way, as somebody whose favorite team is dog bleep. I'm being just intellectually honest as I can. Like, this is the glory days from a basketball standpoint of the NBA. Now, I also acknowledge that I say that, and most people listening think I'm an idiot. And that's totally fine. But based on the competitive balance, based on the beauty of the sport, based on the records, based on just the fluidity of the game, I'll tell you right now, I'd fight with anybody. I think it's the best the product's ever been. Meanwhile, all we want to talk about is Terry Rozier, and I don't blame anybody. It's a huge scandal.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
But it was the point. That was why the FBI and Cash Patel and those guys had that press conference the way that they did. So that it was what you would talk about. I think it's got a couple more days, maybe through the weekend. Football will get in the way and distract us from it, but unless something else comes out.
That's the key. Will there be the small leak?
Yeah.
The small leak of information. Reportedly, this guy shared information. That guy did this. And the other thing that people are going to do, and naturally you would do it, is you're going to pay close attention to player props, notice something odd, especially when a guy doesn't play well, and say, what's up with that? What's up with that? How come Jordan Clarkson just fell down like that? Is it because he was playing out of control? Yes, that's probably what it is. It's basketball. Cam Thomas missed a ton of shots on opening night, probably because it's basketball. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to stop people.
Giants, Broncos, there was like some trash talk going on. You had Nick Benito even saying that Giant fans are like the whiniest fans in sports. Most delusional. That was it. Yeah. It was Jaylen Brown who said Knick fans are the whiniest.
He said the Knick fans are insufferable.
Insufferable. Okay. All right. Mets fans are the whiniest. See, I said it. Well, Nick Benito was asked by Kay Adams after playing the Giants. Mm-hmm. Very simple question. What do you think of Jackson Dart now? What do you think the approach he took?
He took a respect approach.
Respect approach.
Because he got his ass beat by Andrew Thomas.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Nick Benito's response to a very straightforward question. What do you think of Jackson Dart now?
Yeah, you know, I have to give him credit. He's a lot better than, you know, we all thought that, you know, he was when we played against him. He was obviously a really good player, you know, coming into the game. But just I feel like his feel for the game and his, you know, ability to be able to maneuver the pocket and make plays on the run. And, you know, we even had a plan for it all week to be able to, you know, have eyes on him and rush him the right way. And he was still able to go around and make plays. So, you know, I was really impressed with him. And, you know, I know, you know, as years goes on, he's going to be a really good player, man. He's definitely going to be something, you know, going to have to watch out for in the league.
I think that's more than respectful.
Oh, without a doubt. But, you know, it's the one thing he said, we had a plan for him, and it showed up at the worst moment for the Giants. Because if you really don't trust a rookie, if you really believe you can get to him, when Vance Joseph on that 3rd-and-5 that I keep coming back to, if he just brings everybody, then he panics and he incompletion, you get the ball back, you punt. But they sent 7. The Giants had 7 blockers. So everyone was accounted for, and the guy they kept an eye on him intercepted the pass.
Mm.
So it was actually, it was a chess match. And so if that guy comes instead of dropping back into coverage, Jackson Dart probably escapes it somehow and gets the ball to Theo Johnson.
Mm.
Right? But by playing the game, we're bringing one more than you can block, and then Jackson Dart gets fooled and throws the interception, you give kudos to the defensive coordinator.
Amen. I think that it's very tough to assume what would have happened if. But if Jackson Dart, instead of throwing that interception, takes a sack.
Right. That was the better play. That would have been the play.
If that happens, the Giants likely win the game.
But he's a rookie.
And no, I got you.
He thought he could make the play.
No, absolutely. It's a fine line between winning and losing in this league.
No,
and there were a lot of plays last week that if one thing goes the other way, the Giants win.
Yes.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Kevin is in Manhattan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again. Yeah, you said earlier, Jackson Dart, we don't know if he's like a top five QB or a middle of the pack QB, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question to you all is, do you need a top five QB to win the Super Bowl?
Hmm.
And would love to kind of, you know, get some examples if you have them. And then wondering if you thought Eli was a top five QB or more of a middle of the pack guy.
I think you need to play as a top five QB in the moment that matters.
That's a great answer, because that's the answer for Eli.
Right.
I think that's the perfect answer for him.
Well, it's also the answer for Jalen Hurts. Was Jalen Hurts a top five quarterback last year? Where did he finish in the MVP race in the NFL?
Right.
I would guess it's not top 10.
Right.
But he's been to two Super Bowls, and I keep saying this, and it's only because it's absolutely true. He made one mistake in the first Super Bowl, which was a sack fumble that they returned for a touchdown. Returned it for a touchdown. And other than that, he played a perfect game. He could have and maybe should have won the MVP as the loser. He then wins the Super Bowl. He is the Super Bowl MVP. And so, not a top five quarterback, but he played like one.
Yeah.
And so, if you don't have the potential to play like a top five quarterback, then you're not winning a Super Bowl.
So I slightly disagree with you. I think that if you're a top five quarterback, the beautiful part about having one is I think you're a contender every year.
Exactly.
Every single year.
Even every year. Start 0-3?
Yeah.
They start, whatever they start.
Doesn't matter. And even Josh Allen, like, contender every year. Haven't won anything.
Right.
Contender every year. I could easily find
Lamar Jackson. They're probably never winning one, but they're going to be a contender.
They're a contender
every year he plays.
So I think the way you answered that with Jalen and Eli Manning is perfect, because both those guys are really good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Were they top five? Probably not. Did they play like top fives when they needed to? Absolutely.
Yeah. But now, the question is, how do you know if a guy can play like a top five quarterback?
I mean, that's the thing, right?
Seriously.
Yeah, like Sam Darnold.
What did Eli Manning do in the regular season? Any of those years that made you say, this kid's going to be amazing when he gets to the postseason?
No, you're right. He probably didn't. I think the only thing that showed us that was him actually doing it in 2007.
That's right.
I think that there are definitely pockets of examples where a top five quarterback doesn't win and you win a Super Bowl. Like, I give you one off the top, and it's going to sound weird at first because he's one of the greatest of all time, but when the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, he was not a top five quarterback.
No.
He wasn't a top 10 quarterback.
Nor did he play like one.
It wasn't even close.
Right.
So that is a fair example to say, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
That's one right there. The Eagle one with Nick Foles is weird because he was a backup.
And he played great, though.
But he played great. Matthew Stafford has always been a really good quarterback. Was he top five? Is he top five? I don't know. Maybe on the precipice?
I think those that know, or not know, I think, because anybody can know, can evaluate. Those that are on the inside respect him more than I think those on the outside do.
I mean, I respect him, but to answer the question, is he a top five quarterback?
I think that's my point. I think people on the inside
would say he is. Okay. I'll give you another one. Joe Flacco, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl. He played like one when they needed to.
Yeah.
It's like the Eli equation.
But I would say he's not.
He's not. No, I don't think he ever was. But
no.
During that run.
But it doesn't matter.
He made throws like a top five quarterback. Like, that touchdown pass in Denver was top five stuff. So I think it's like, it's unfortunately...
It doesn't matter, but it does.
I think that's a fair way to look at it. If you want to be a contender every year, obviously having a top five quarterback helps. But I think we have just gone through a few examples where you don't necessarily need to be a top five quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I look at Sam Darnold. I'll use him as an example. Sam's having a pretty good year again.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good year. He had a good year last year. Sam hasn't proven yet that he can play like a top five quarterback for a 4-week period in January.
When it matters. Yeah.
So,
because he was great last regular season.
Right.
And then when it mattered, he wasn't so great.
So can Sam Darnold, in the right situation, win a Super Bowl? You tell me. Because I think that's like a perfect try to answer that. Because where's he ranked as a quarterback right now? He's probably in the 10 to 15 range.
Yeah. I would say these last two seasons give me a belief that he can, even though I don't believe.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Did he can.
I got another name for you, though. Daniel Jones. Can he? I mean, they may well be the number one seed in the AFC when it's all said and done.
I think he can, because I always thought that he could be a top 10 quarterback.
You did say that.
I always thought he could be, and it's this. The circumstances just never presented themselves the right way with the Giants. Now they are. And so a guy who does, who's an athlete, first of all, smart as hell, tough, because he got the crap beat out of him here, we all remember, but was not afraid to make throws down the field. Danny Dimes just didn't happen in, from Duke. That happened from when he came in the league and has won. I think he, yeah, I would say yes for Daniel Jones.
Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Hey, guys. Just to jump in on that football conversation, but I do want to address the opening night with the NBA the other night. I think the quarterback situation, it's more about the quarterback has to play up to the contract that they signed. Because if you're overpaying for a quarterback, you just cripple your team in other areas as well. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, Sam Darnold at 30 can probably win, $30 million can probably win a Super Bowl because it allows the Seahawks to build a team down the road. But if Justin Herbert's making 50, it kind of hurts right. the Chargers if he doesn't play to that level.
Right.
But I did call today because I didn't want my call yesterday to get lost in the shuffle with the FBI news. I want to congratulate and say that it is official that the New York Knicks have opened the window of a championship run. Mm. And as a coalition member here, Evan, if you would, I have a prepared statement
Are you scared, Kendrick? Is this a conceding statement?
I'm concerned, Tiki, honestly, right. because there are some things that I want to bring to light here, given what the FBI had brought up yesterday. I have reason to believe October 22nd, there was a full house at Madison Square Garden, and there were some eyebrows raised because local IBOs reached out to me, and they believe that head coach Mike Brown is clearly fixing the Knicks home games. Currently, a possible motive. Yeah.
Keep going.
Possible motive here, Tiki, that's been uncovered is that the Knicks have become window shoppers. They walk around looking the part, but they don't have enough draft capital to buy what they need in Milwaukee to get that ring that they keep looking at.
Oh, you're such a
and
hater.
So, and Tiki, yeah, I am Tiki, but if we're going to call a spade, the Knicks now window shopping for that championship ring they can't afford have turned to hosting home games, inviting A-list celebrities and young athletes from other New York clubs like Cam Scadaboo and Cam Schlittler to help steal the hearts and get fans to open their wallets to help fund their quest. And so you might think, Tiki, you might think, and you've alluded to this already, you think this is coming from jealousy and hate, Tiki,
uh-huh.
but let me remind you and the entire public and the WFAN audience that the Knicks have a history of not only fixing this organization with Mike Brown, but rigging lotteries. And so
oh,
they have...
Why you got to bring up old stuff, Kendrick? Why you got to bring up old stuff?
Oh, because I don't forget, and like Robert Saleh, I keep receipts. And so, like, you know, for years now, though, Tiki, let's be real. Let's look at the New York City area teams. Draft picks, prospects, and free agent signings all flop or bust at every turn of a rebuild, yet the Knicks seem to have hit every time recently. And whether it's reputable journalist Pablo Torre, who's alluded to some shady dealings that landed them their king, or even WFAN's generational talent Tommy Lugauer's tweets suggesting that not even the most positive fan could have predicted that they would now have two kings, a pair of kings, Brunson, the king of New York, and a fired king that they hired, Mike Brown, while they looked for the crown. These allegations must be taken seriously, Evan. And as the president of the coalition, I promise not only to get to the bottom of this, but to the bottom of the standings. Because as they've been dealt aces and kings, we were just dealt, in your own words, a young joker.
Mm. That was well nice. Done, Kendrick. Well done. Very well done.
Is he playing tonight?
No, the young joker's out again with a bad ankle.
Out again?
Yeah. The young joker has not made his NBA debut. We were, of course, referring to rookie Danny Wolfe.
Maybe Danny Wolfe is the next Ben Simmons, not Nikola Jokic.
He may be on his way. Right now, Ben's played more games as a Net than he has.
By the way, even as a Knicks fan, that was a top three call from Kendrick.
That was solid.
That was so funny.
The way he ended it, the way he wrapped it was excellent. You got to know the show, but that was excellent.
Brilliant writing.
But perfect.
Perfectly and well done. Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
Anthony. I just want to make three quick points. And, Tiki, I do agree with you that, and I'm a Giant fan, a quarterback has to play big when it counts to win a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
The second one, Evan, I about skill players in the NBA. I've been looking at NBA for over 40 years, and you're right. You know, the players, they are much more skilled than players in the past. But I got two players, and that's Pistol Pete Maravich and Michael Jordan. Michael was doing things every night that was fascinating, and players have still not able to do that.
Right.
And Pistol Pete Maravich. And the third one was the coach of the Jets. Tiki and Evan, he doesn't have any good players. But to your point, Tiki, he should know how to answer, questions and present his team and, you know, in a more positive light. But he doesn't have the players. I don't think Bill Belichick could coach that team.
But Anthony, that's where I'll disagree with you. He doesn't have good enough players. Mm-hmm. I will absolutely agree with that part.
Some of them are really good.
Yeah, they have more talent than the 2020 team. They have more talent than the Kotite team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're 0-7, and it is legitimately on the table that they're not going to win a game this year. That would be unacceptable.
Yeah.
So as bad as the talent is, I'm not trying to tell you this is an all-star team, or this is a Pro Bowl-worthy team, but it's not as bad as going 2-15. And if you look at some of the games that they've lost this season, they weren't winnable. I mean, four of their losses.
Oh, they definitely were.
Yeah. I think five of their losses were one-score game.
Was absolutely winnable. Tampa, they should have won. The Dolphins, they had a chance to win. Obviously, the Denver game, they could have won. I mean, there's four right there.
Here's the thing, though, just to get back to basketball real quick on why I think this is the golden age of the sport. Look around at the other sports.
Mm-hmm.
Dynasties are good, but they're not good. They're good because you want to hate a team.
Yeah.
They're good because you want to hate watch a team. And in the NBA, unfortunately, we get dynasties like the Olympics every 4 years. Oh, we've got the Bulls into the Lakers, into the Spurs, into the Warriors. It's too much. And over the last 6 years, really since the death knell of the Golden State Warriors, which essentially ended when Kevin Durant tore his Achilles, if you want to find a moment, look what we've witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
A different NBA champion every single year.
Right.
In fact, the team that wins the NBA title doesn't even get back to the NBA Finals the following year. We are living in a moment of parity unseen. And so, as someone, again, who really has no dog in the fight, because my dog is dead. Like, I mean, I don't even have a chance. I do watch this and say, isn't this fun? Like, isn't this cool? Like,
I think so.
We made predictions on the NBA Finals right before the season started, and we all had different predictions. If we did that in 2017, we wouldn't.
Right.
We'd all just be saying, Warriors, Cavs.
Now, I did predict a repeat, but...
You did, but if we get a repeat, that's an upset. Think about that.
Right. No, you're right.
So I think from that perspective, it's very tough to argue. Now, if your argument is, I like dynasties, great. Okay, fine. Okay, you like dynasties. Then you're right. Then you need a dynastic evil team. And right now we don't have that. And by the way, if the Thunder ever become that, how evil would they truly be?
That's true.
Is anyone really going to hate the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No, I don't think so.
The NBA is still a little top heavy, though. Like, if you're not a top 3 seed in either conference, are you winning a title? One thing I'd like to see different.
But you can say that about the NFL.
I mean, we've seen like wild card teams, whether it was the Giants a couple times or the Steelers. Like,
you want to give me one recent?
The Chiefs, when they had to go on the road and win a couple
times.
The problem is it hasn't been recent.
It hasn't been recent. All your examples are from 15 years ago.
Okay.
Give me a recent one.
Okay. NFL, but do you feel like...
Give me a recent one.
I can't give you a recent one, but okay, Ev, so you're telling me that every team in the NBA playoffs has a chance of winning?
No.
Okay. Would you say more teams in the NFL playoffs have a chance of winning?
More teams make the playoffs.
Hockey,
in the NBA,
baseball. Though. NBA's still the most top-heavy sport.
That's because more teams make the playoffs in the NBA. So you'll have a 37-win team like Miami in the playoffs.
Right.
You'll have eight teams, potentially 10 when you got the play-in tournament. And in the NFL, it's less.
All right, but more teams make it in hockey, and you could have, you know, the Blues won it. They were the bottom feeder. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I'd like to see where there's a little bit more parity from the bottom end. That way.
Really?
Oh,
how much
serious?
More parity are you going to get?
I would, because I feel like if a team, like it's a seven seed,
you mean,
has a chance.
You mean like an 8, 7, or 8 seed actually getting to a championship?
Of course.
And winning.
Yeah, because then it's like, we all know, right. Even last year, it was like, all right, really, it's the Thunder, it's the Knicks, it's the Celtics. It's really only 4 or 5 teams. Even though there's parity, there's still only 4 or 5 teams that
when
have a realistic chance.
Thunder get to an NBA Finals prior to last year?
They haven't.
When did the Pacers get to their last NBA Finals before last year?
I understand that, but they
there
were still
go.
The big favorites going in. Where right now, who's winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but I don't think Evan's talking about in-season parity. I think he's talking about season-over-season parity.
Season-over-season. We've had a different NBA champion right. every single year, and we don't even get the champion going back to defend their crown.
Right.
It feels more open. Like, the idea that we're ever going to live in a sports world where 15 of the 30 or 15 of the 32 teams have a chance to win a championship, that's never going to happen. Like that, and that... But probably shouldn't happen.
Right. I mean, look,
that's too
if
much.
You look at OKC, because they're the example. They won the West twice. They won the conference twice, right? Finished first in the Western Conference. They didn't.
No, right. This is their first NBA Finals in over a decade.
No. Mm-hmm. Regular season.
Yeah.
But the next year, last year, they won 11 more games. But that first year in 2023, they lost in the semis.
Yeah. All you need to know is since 2019, name all the different teams that have made the NBA
that's
Finals.
Right.
That's my point.
And the year before that,
yes.
They were under 500.
Yes. And that's my overall point. You're right, Teague. It's about the continuation of it. And I would venture to say that we're probably going to get a new one this year. In fact, I already said it because I think the Knicks are going to the NBA Finals. And the Knicks haven't been to an NBA Finals, as y'all know, in a long-ass time. And if they don't get to the NBA Finals, maybe it's, let's say, Cleveland. Well, they haven't been there since the LeBron era, which is an eternity ago. And if it's not them, I guess it would be Orlando. When was the last time they got there? The Dwight Howard years. So you go down the list and you see it's like nothing we've ever seen before from this sport. Let's go to Matt in Hackensack. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing? So I have 2 points. I was actually the first person to call up after the Sauce Gardner signing. And I said I was no longer a Jets fan, which I'm lying about. I still am a fan. But I think that you're going to see the Jets defense play a lot better this week without him. I don't think they're going to win the game. But I want to go back to a game, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, when the Jets played the Eagles and picked off Jalen Hurts like 3 times.
Yes.
Sauce Gardner did not play in that game, right? And I think that it's a detriment from the coaching, because I think when he does play, they think he's great. They put him in man coverage, and everybody else gets burned, even if it looks like Sauce has his man covered. So I think they probably come out with a good game plan this week and play a lot more zone, and I think their defense plays a lot better.
Yeah, I can see that, Matt, because I remember asking, was it Solid? I don't think it was Solid. It must have been Jeff Olbrich when we had one of those Jet games. And we asked him about putting Sauce in man coverage. Why don't you travel him? And his answer was, it was telling, and I think it's what Matt was alluding to. When you put Sauce in man coverage and then you don't want to play man everywhere else, it makes it really hard for everybody else to do their job.
I make sense. The thing I have a tough time wrapping my head around is that AZ Thomas is a rookie. Like, he's probably going to be on the field a lot more this week because Sauce Gardner isn't there. And, oh, by the way, the Bengals have some pretty good wide receivers.
Yeah,
it is very difficult for me to compute that they're better without a player who, as much criticism as he takes, is still a good player.
Well, he's a good player, obviously. But if you're going to play man with Sauce, either you're going to play man with everybody or you're going to have to do these weird coverages.
Right.
Which then create opportunities for confusion and mistakes. And, yeah, it'd be awesome if you had guys that could also hang with the T. Higginses of the world. Right, while somebody else is on Jamar Chase, but that's easier said than done. So I just feel like playing a zone and letting it all happen in front of you, and if they're going to have big plays, it's going to be because you messed up. is probably the better bet against a team like this. But, now, the problem is, not the problem, but your advantage is that Joe Flacco is the quarterback.
Right.
It's not Joe Burrow.
Right, right.
But you still, I mean, he's interception prone. He is what he is. But I don't know. This is a weird game for the Jets for me.
I also think that it should just be phrased differently because Sauce Gardner takes way too much heat. Like, you want to tell me he hasn't lived up to his potential? That is totally fine. You want to say he doesn't live up to his contract? Totally fine. You want to say he's not the best cornerback in the NFL? Of course that's fine.
Yeah.
But he gets talked about like he's Kyle Wilson. He gets talked about like he's a bum. It's not true. Watch the games.
Yeah. Like I'm not saying he's not that.
Right. So
I'm just saying it's complicated when you want to put him.
Okay, but wouldn't the better critique, I think, whether it's from this call or anybody else, say maybe Steve Wilkes should basically defend and use Sauce Gardner differently than to say, wow, the Jets are benefiting with Sauce Gardner not on the field?
Yeah. Because
it's weird to think that a rookie corner getting more time out there is going to make this team better. You want to say they should, you know, X's and O's different, well,
we just don't know how it's going to be called. And then Wilkes might be really good.
Well, I hope he is.
I mean, you better hope he is.
But I don't think you become better when you take a really good football player off the field.
No, I agree with that.
That's the tough thing to kind of wrap my head around.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.